Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Welcome to a brand new episode of the Football Ramble. The Premier League season is over, but Chelsea are winning the transfer window. It's Tuesday the 25th of August. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Yes, forget the youth. The youth are over at Stamford Bridge.
We need game time. We need players who've got game time. Gosh darn it.
Aren't they fine with young'uns, but they need to be expensive young'uns?
Mm. Great I think point.
That's important.
Of course, we don't want any of this homegrown crap. We want
global superstars at 19 that we can buy in.
There is something far more satisfying, I think, about going and buying, you know, two Romero peppers for £3 out of Waitrose than there is in growing them in your back garden, wouldn't you say?
I actually wouldn't say that because over the lockdown, I grew spinach. And I tell you what, the taste of that spinach
will stay with me for the rest of my life.
It'll stay in my stomach. It'll rot. Is it good or bad?
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
Okay, right, fine. Okay.
You say that, if you can still taste food like 4 weeks later,
That's so irony. Yeah. So irony.
I can't get the McDonald's stench off my fingers.
Car battery.
I think you're making the wrong order. Oh, well, let's not get onto that on the McDonald's front. Mm. But I don't know. I think sometimes it's nice to have a little scent of the French fries.
They're a central London club. There's no room for player allotment, so to speak. Think of the overheads, guys. Come on.
Yeah, that's a great point, actually. Mm. Did anyone else grow any vegetables in the lockdown?
No, I did find what's not an aubergine? It's my new game. What's not an aubergine? Press the button.
A courgette.
It is courgette. Bang on. There we go. Courgette. Thank you, Kate. Thank you. A courgette. There was somebody giving away a big box of courgettes, and I took one, and I thought I was being really sneaky, and I cooked it. It was delicious. Free courgettes, guys. Get involved.
Wait, hang on, sorry, what?
Somebody had been growing some courgettes on their allotment, I believe.
Oh, what, just left them outside the door?
Left them outside going, who wants some free courgettes?
Because you now inhabit a countryside idyll, so
yes,
all of this stuff is
exactly,
just
yeah.
Par for the course for you. Not for us, like, skanky urban...
Rats.
Plants. Yeah,
say rats. Say rats.
Slugs.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. I grow French fries in my garden.
Turkey Twizzlers. They're back, I hear.
Really?
They're back, yeah, apparently. I don't know what's happened.
Is that because Jamie Oliver went bankrupt or whatever? And so now...
He's brought his own out now. Yeah. He was adopted by the dark. But his company's gone down the Swanee. So Turkey Twizzlers can be back, kids. Can eat the Turkey Twizzlers.
Oh, bro. All right, then. Mm. Don't... If children are listening at home, you also must eat your greens, especially homegrown spinach. That's what I'd recommend. Speaking of homegrown spinach, yes, let's talk about these transfers that may or may not happen, as is the want of this extremely long transfer window. Just under 50 days remaining, I think.
Yeah.
It feels like it's longer.
Yeah, probably feels very long for Kate working on Sky. I love transfers.
If we had to do transfers 365 days a year, I would be pleased.
Yay.
So let's have none of that, Donaldson.
You'd like to travel to the transfer dimension, wouldn't you? Dimensions are four-dimensional and amazing.
Just everything you want can happen.
Recurs. Two transfers can happen to the same player at the same time. Different clubs. quantum transfers.
That's quite a good. I think we're edging towards the new topics there.
I only think Christmas Day transfers would be good if we had a transfer system like the trade system in basketball.
Right.
It's like, you know, imagine you're having your Sunday lunch and it's like, oh yeah, you've been traded to Chelsea. And you're like, oh, well, but I play for the Central Coast Mariners. I don't care. You need to be there in 20 minutes.
Chopper's outside.
Aaron Ramsdale just gone back to Sheffield United. He was talking on one of the BBC football podcasts, saying that he discovered that would be happening while he was on a plane. And how do you celebrate on a plane? He asked. Chappers or whoever it was he was talking to.
Somebody did the big Wi-Fi upgrade, £8. Disgusting.
Yeah. He said he had a little Prosecco.
Oh,
did he?
Prosecco. I wonder what kind of plane it was. I wonder where he was going.
Yeah, he tried to then amp it up and suggest it was champagne, but it was clear it was Prosecco.
I think Prosecco's nearer the market at Sheffield United, isn't it? I mean, you know, they're all very, you know, working class and real, aren't
solid,
they?
Solid, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what Sheffield United
is that what working class real people drink, Prosecco?
Oh, yeah, they do now.
Prosecco and mead. There's nothing in between. Prosecco, mead, and that's it.
I don't know what you drink to celebrate your move to Chelsea, though, like... Gold encrusted Krug, something like that.
Yeah, it's got to be Cristal for Chelsea or Paris Saint Germain.
Right.
I would think.
Yeah, although all that non alcoholic Cristal if you're going to Paris Saint Germain, of course, because, you know, Qatar's dry.
Ah, I see.
Anyway, Chelsea.
Non alcoholic Cristal delivered by Jay-Z, Leonardo DiCaprio, or David Beckham.
I just sat in a hotel in Qatar drinking non alcoholic Prosecco. Oh, something's gone wrong here.
Some of us don't have to imagine that experience. Thank you, Pete. I'm breaking out in cold sweats already.
The fun adjacent hotel.
Yes, you mentioned the youth coming in, being bought in like Waitrose, Spinach, Kai Havertz, to live up to £90 million that could be concluded imminently, we understand. But then we also have Thiago Silva, nearly 36, in he comes as well on a free.
That's
which
more
is
like
the
it.
Better deal?
I think they're both excellent, can I say?
No.
Well, I am saying that. I think you have to applaud Leverkusen, who everyone expected to get bullied in this and are basically going to end up getting what they want, albeit by increments, because it looks like it's 80 million euros up front plus 10 in the sort of objectives that you're definitely going to achieve, like getting in the Champions League every year.
Yeah.
And then the extra ones would be like, you know, winning the Champions League or winning the FA Cup and et cetera, et cetera. But they're going to end up with pretty close to the 100 million euros they wanted with a player who, I mean, and this has been compared to the Jadon Sancho situation, but it's nothing like that, because Havertz went to Leverkusen and said, right, I want to leave. Let me go now.
Mm.
And I won't sign an extension to my contract. Which is very, very different.
It's literally the opposite of Sancho's situation.
He's not doing any dancing in training videos for the social channels. He's like, no, socials, stay away from me. I'm going to be at Chelsea by the end of August. And, you know, they've got a great player who, if everything goes relatively according to plan, they're going to get 10 years of great bang out of. He's a great player already. There's lots of progress to be made. We know he can play centre forward from the last 6 months as well. There's so much about him. So I understand that people think, yeah, they need defenders, et cetera, et cetera. Well, ta-da! I think the thing is with Thiago Silva, yes, he is old, but he's still amazing. And yeah, if he doesn't have to be the captain, he's even better. I just wonder, with Paris Saint-Germain, we wonder how Ligue 1 can be a bit of a challenge for them. Maybe they could replace Thiago Silva with
David Luiz,
the kid who got on stage dressed as Thiago Silva to do that rap with Dave at Glastonbury.
Oh, right. What do you reckon? I forgot about that, yes.
Kids is football,
he might fail the post-match drug test.
Yeah, didn't he get like a fire in the booth session or something?
Did he?
Oh, he got like a record deal or something like that.
Oh,
and
okay.
It turns out he was terrible without the fun, the feeling of fun in his heart on stage.
I thought you were going to say, having learnt the words.
Having learnt the words, the whole thing. But yeah, the Thiago Silva thing's way more kind of, in my heart, a bit more Chelsea for me. It's a bit more like, it's a bit more like going for trying to get Alisson and getting Kepa, like that kind of sort of situation. Like going for a defender they need and then going for a defender that they probably... Is it fair to say a 35-year-old footballer should not be the saviour of your defence?
Probably, but I think if you look at the sort of players that Chelsea have got, there's plenty of potential and not that much product. I mean, I think they've got lots of centre-halves who could be worked on and who could get better.
Is that the responsibility of a footballer who's coming in on pretty decent wages, presumably?
Yeah, that's what they're paying him for. I literally think that's what they're paying him for. I don't think you're paying Thiago Silva to play 60 games a season, because it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember the first time I interviewed him, you should see the state of his feet.
He is a
warrior. he's an absolute warrior.
What are we talking? Crusty toenails or...
He just looks like he's been doing a lot of manual work with his feet, which really he has been.
Yeah. He's the, you know, like video game Tetris. He's the one who kicks the blocks into the screen. it's one thing you don't know about him.
Yeah, he looks like he might have had a few like Arkanoid gold bricks drop on his feet at various points.
Also a bit foot damaged or heel damaged. Anyway, it's Ben Chilwell who's supposed to be coming in too.
I think that's
a
link.
That's a segue.
Are you impressed?
Yeah, I love it.
He's going to get through his heel injury.
It's less good because you pointed it out. I could have just passed it off as an accident. Yeah, so he's youth and vigour in the back line.
Yeah.
So stop slagging off Chelsea,
Pete. I just
think
you need to sit somewhere in the middle. Going to spend that amount of money. Oh, yeah, yeah. But yeah, I want to see Thiago Silva in a Chelsea shirt. I want to see him in the Premier League. I'm looking forward to this season, actually. Chelsea are going to be blooming brilliant. And to be honest, does this not massively increase the risk of Frank not having a club, second half of this season? Because I just can't... If you can't get a tune out of that forward line, think it's going to be really problematic, and it's really going to show any deficiencies or any greenness.
It's a question, though, actually, Pete. Has Abramovich ever had to kick a club legend to the curb before?
Well, I guess they've always been like new club legends, so to speak. But frankly, there's very few legends who've spent that amount of time at one club and produced so frequently.
Does whoever go in next get the Rafa Benitez treatment?
That's
my question.
Yeah,
not the Newcastle Rafa Benitez treatment, the Chelsea Rafa Benitez treatment.
I mean, they didn't spend big in January when their transfer ban was obviously lifted, and they sort of said, look, we're not going to... We've seen Chelsea make panic buys again and again and again in January, and now he's got a hell of a squad to draw from.
What are you saying about Fernando Torres? What are you saying about Fernando Torres?
But like Chelsea have got a terrible... You know, like I said, going for Alisson and getting Kepa, you know, trying to sign like Roberto Carlos back in the day and muffing it up, and like, you know, Edin Dzeko, and ending up with Giroud. Like, I'm not saying Giroud isn't a fantastic footballer, but I'm just saying that the level, it's a completely different level, I think, to a certain extent.
Is it like when you go into Waitrose, Kate, and reach for the truffle pesto and you accidentally pick up the Indusia one instead?
I wouldn't ever make such a basic error.
Exactly.
When you know Waitrose as, you know, as clearly as I do, you can summon that store layout at the back of your hand.
I hear Ricardo switched to Marks & Spencer's guys. Just to...
Oh, blimey.
The 411 on Ocado, guys.
No.
They've got away from Waitrose. Did they do a Waitrose?
That is a transfer window story.
That is a transfer window story. It happened back in January, but yeah, they've just kind of come
January
out.
Transfer window. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Old news in some respects, but to us, huge.
But where does this leave Cheeky and Mounty?
Yeah, quite.
Because look, and Abrahami and Pulisic.
So done is Timo Werner and Hakim Ziyech. And then we've got Havertz on the way in. Chilwell, TBC, based possibly on his heel or not. And then, of course, Silva, which would make a big dent. Do you remember at the start of last season? Do you remember the start of last season?
Not really.
When they did all of those, you know, Chelsea starting 11 was, you know, average age of 24 years or something. So I imagine Silva's going to make a bit of a dent in that very, very young average age.
But apart from that, the rest of it stays relatively low. They're kind of on course, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, now it's just a, you know, better class of young. And it's turned into Hogwarts. It was St Trinian's, and now it's Hogwarts.
Well, I'm not sure how Kepa would feel about that. If Kepa will be having a chance to take an interest in whether it's St Trinian's or Hogwarts, because, well, is he going to be replaced by this Lille goalkeeper, Mike Maignan? Did I get that
Maignan,
right?
Yeah.
Maignan.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's excellent, but fell out with a very terrifying Lille head coach Christophe Galtier. You really don't want to fall out with Christophe Galtier. But Maignan is someone with enormous potential who I think could eventually become France goalkeeper, especially if you look at the age of their current goalkeepers. He's terrific. He came through the Paris Saint-Germain Academy, so there's another one who can bite him in the arse in Champions League in a couple of years' time. But I think this would be a really good signing because he's not going to cost the earth. I think he could be the goalkeeper that Chelsea need rather than the goalkeeper that you expect them to get, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, part of it is
they
like,
can't buy another expensive goalkeeper though, can't they?
How do you sell Kepa?
Yeah.
How do you get rid of him?
Would they have gone for anyone who was decent, who was cheap, like in Europe, who had a bit of a recognised pedigree?
I guess that's the thing, isn't it? Because the Alisson and Kepa transfers really changed the way that goalkeepers are looked at. Mm. Like, if you think how long the record for Buffon as the most expensive goalkeeper in the world lasted for like nearly 20 years.
Yeah.
Which is astonishing, really, because a goalkeeper can definitely make or break your chances of winning a trophy.
Well,
I can never get my head around that.
Goalkeepers historically undervalued, as we know, because, you know, people have that confirmation bias about, you know, you watch a striker score a lot of goals or whatever. Obviously, that overvalues them in your mind. I think you undervalue the goal didn't happen if it's saved, right? So you sort of forget it more.
And it becomes so much more of a part of the game, especially with teams like Manchester City and Liverpool starting off everything through them. And like you say, Andy, goalkeepers are very, very different now. And you sort of look at Martin Dubravka at Newcastle. Why are no teams looking at him? Because his delivery of the ball is second to none at times. He could play outfield half the time, and he's an incredible shot stopper.
I might have asked you this already, Pete, but do you think he's either reached or is close to reaching his Shea Given moment? Because there was definitely a Shea Given moment where he thought, I'm not putting up with this shit. I remember I took my father-in-law to see them play, I guess it must have been the season but last they went down, when they lost 5-1 at home to Liverpool. Mm. And at the end, when everyone was shaking hands, Shea Given just got the ball and booted it up into level 7 of the Sir John Hall stand. And that was his moment. You could feel the straw breaking.
I'm absolutely done. Bring Harper in. I just, but I'm just saying.
So you're not nominating him as a Kepa replacement, are you? Then?
I'm nominating him as a player that better teams should, and of which there are a lot at the moment, should be looking at, because he's great with his feet, and he's great at delivering the ball where it needs to be. Unfortunately, the ball will be delivered to someone who's a bit naff, and he's an incredible shot stopper as well. I don't know why teams aren't looking at him. There must be something that I'm not seeing, and that is obviously very much an option for people to not see what I'm seeing.
Yeah, that's everybody in the whole world.
I know.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's an option.
Quickly take my eyes.
Away from Chelsea, James Maddison has just signed a new four-year deal. Well, yeah, away from Chelsea, he's signed a new four-year deal with Leicester, so he's going to be sticking around there. He says there are so many positive things happening on and off the pitch, and I'm delighted to be part of that.
I know there are... In Ibiza. Dele Alli.
Yeah, I know there are a lot of deals in old football done in service stations. If you're James Maddison, you don't sign a four-year contract extension with, like... Leicester in a welcome break, do you?
No, you really, really don't.
Maybe that would be how you show your like real football if you wanted to do it like that.
Yeah. Say, well, I'm earning 110 grand a week now. I'm going to go and buy 2 Melton Mowbray pork pies.
God, he's so salt of the earth, isn't he? I don't want to go down the route endlessly of this, like, I went to Wales and did camping. But when I was in Wales doing camping...
is this recent? Or
yeah, the other day. Last weekend, I've lost track of the days, to be honest, went into a service station. And I guess, you know, it's all quite a bit more spread out in that, you know, what's the countryside, it's proper countryside. Mm-hmm. And there were just a whole load of people sitting around a table playing a bit of cards in the service station, having a chat. Little
that didn't sound like much
coffee.
Of a holiday.
I wasn't
playing cards in a service station.
I don't think they were on holiday. I think it was their local hangout.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
It was cool. They were friendly.
Were you signing for someone?
Well, I'm not. This is embargoed until later.
I signed for Totally in a welcome break last week. Kate's leaving at the break, ladies and gentlemen.
One stick back.
People have been snapping my progress on the CCTV cameras. Did you see that?
No.
Arsenal fans taking photos of, I don't really understand what they were hoping to interpret, but of CCTV cameras with potential signings, cars.
Oh, like CCTV cameras in at Arsenal's?
Yeah, correct.
Right, okay. Who's got the feed? Who's got access to the feed?
Well, I don't know, but... I used to work for a travel news company, you know, where you'd be like, it's chocker on the M25 at the moment.
I wonder if it's one of those guys. You'd have eyes on the motorways, right?
Is this at the Emirates or London Colney?
I'm not sure. I didn't see that. And also, I couldn't really bloody tell. It's just a bit of road.
If it's at London Colney, I guess there's quite a lot of potential for, like, getting it wrong, isn't there? Because you know they're right next door to Watford.
Yes.
So you could be thinking, we're signing Ismail Assar.
Hang a left or right?
No, he's not. He's just going to work.
Love it.
Oh, brilliant! Right, let's talk a little bit about the fallout of the Champions League final, shall we? In Marseille, specifically, and the fallout has been largely positive, I think I would say, from the perspective of Marseille. Now, the question really is, who has enjoyed the defeat of Paris Saint-Germain in the Champions League final more, Bayern Munich or Marseille's players?
Well, the thing is, we saw all the Marseille fans at the Vieux-Port, where everyone goes for drinks in Marseille, taking to the streets at the final whistle and chanting, where are the Parisians and all that sort of stuff. But... I didn't really expect the players and former players to get involved to quite the level they have.
Bored.
I mean, you say that. Let's not pretend we don't enjoy player pettiness.
Oh, we love it.
it is fun. I mean, immediately we saw Dimitri Payet. Just to underline, Dimitri Payet, current Marseille captain, who seemed to have, well, to do that little Instagram thing.
Yeah, the video.
Where he did the little shaking his finger at the PSG crest and then pulled it back to reveal the Marseille crest. I thought, well, does that mean you've got a Paris Saint-Germain shirt?
Has
he borrowed it from one of the neighbours? Also, bear in mind... this is a guy who you're thinking, oh, sort of the earth, Marseille. When he was at Saint-Étienne, he went on strike to try and get a move to Paris Saint-Germain. He took the Eurostar, he bunked off training, took the Eurostar, not the Eurostar, the TGV, up to Paris and kind of moped around hoping to be signed. It was a kind of...
Come and get me.
It was like a low-rent Odom Vingy.
Yes. High-rent, surely.
Well, yes.
Maybe that's why he's got
what
are
you saying about eating chips in your car outside Loftus Road?
Yeah, he really had organised it. I don't know if you guys listening had seen the video, but the way that the shirt, the PSG shirt, was organised, so it was below the star indicating Marseille, the only French team to win the European Cup in 1993. So they've got a star on their above their crest. And he'd really organised the Paris Saint-Germain crest. It must have taken quite a lot of time, is what I'm saying.
Oh, it's excellent
to then
balling.
Whip it away.
Yes.
And mock
I like
PSG.
To think, I like to think he bought the PSG shirt 5 minutes into the match. He did the Amazon two-hour thing.
Ah.
So he's ready for the final whistle.
I've got a brilliant... This is going to go viral, guys. We've all got to have something to fall back on.
So I don't know if, like Dimitri Payet is, you know, he's an acquired taste. Even if he's an excellent player, he's an acquired taste, I think it's fair to say. Gibril Cissé with, I seem to remember, I'm colourblind, so you're going to have to help me out here. Turquoise hair at the moment,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
And him with a little Champions League trophy going, c'est pas pour vous!
Come on.
That was pretty good.
I really enjoyed that.
That was pretty good.
I mean, that puts... I mean, look, I don't know what the romance of a domestic user heading a Champions League winning goal in an empty stadium is now for the Champions League final. I'm like, it's been a while since my club's qualified for any European competition.
Yes.
So I don't really know what emotions football supporters can actually enjoy. But I do think Gibril Cissé doing anything is utterly charming. The early
it is.
Whatever he does in his life,
it is. The more niche one was former Marseille striker Brandão, the Brazilian player who I described, I think I was describing him to producer Charlie earlier, as technically the worst player to have played for Shakhtar Donetsk in the last 20 years. But nevertheless, like 6'5" striker, if you're not aware of him, quite physical, all elbows and legs and all the rest of it, who played for Marseille, who scored the goal that knocked Inter out of the Champions League, actually, when he was in Marseille once, and was a title winner there. He got stuck in as well. And that was enjoyable because he's a cult figure. Also enjoyable because he has relatively limited French. Because one of his favourite, his keynote, one of the memes of French football is him in the Coupe de la Ligue final, which is the first thing I've won in about 15 years, I think, when they beat Bordeaux in the Coupe de la Ligue final in 2010. They went on to win the title with Didier Deschamps. There's a moment where he cuts Mathieu Chalmers in half, and then he approaches the referee who's mic'd up, and he goes, no, je l'ai pas touché. And je l'ai pas touché, it's just become a Marseille and French football meme. And so, at full time, he does a little tweet with lots of, you know, lol emojis saying oui, ils l'ont pas touché, as in, you know, they've not been able to touch the Champions League, and everyone enjoyed it because it was Brandão.
Yeah
we do love a bit of multilingual humor on the Football Ramble, and what more would you expect when Andy Brassel is in the studio with us today? Now we're gonna go to a break. Coming up afterwards, we're talking topics, single-legged ties in the Champions League, and Patrice Evra. See you in a minute.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble. Open up your wardrobes, ladies and gentlemen, because it's time for this.
We concentrate on the topics. We're pretty good on many topics today.
Yes, we are. Pretty good on many topics today. As are you, Ramble listeners. Thank you for some excellent new ones. I've got Tony Potter on Twitter. Oh, shall I tell you what the topic is, in case you missed it? If you could dress a manager, who would you choose and what are they wearing? We had some corkers yesterday and I think we've upped the standard even more today. Tony Potter on Twitter, no relation. Opposition managers get to choose their counterpart's outfit for each game. Let's see how friendly managers really are.
A corrosive liquid. You'll have to wear a corrosive liquid.
Yeah.
But you see, if you're a Manchester United manager, that's far easier to sell than Jurgen Klopp saying, I would like you to wear everything out of the Liverpool club shop, which is what I do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
It's obvious.
Hot dog costume. Just something that really belittles your authority, I think, on the field. Get back. Get back in defence. You're dressed as a hot dog, mate. I'm not listening to you.
Like sandwich board.
Yes.
Saying, call me Real Madrid.
I actually think Jose Mourinho would still be quite sort of scary and weird in a hot dog outfit.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Well, he looks like someone else randomly dresses him at the moment.
Anyway,
doesn't he? How do you feel that he suits the Spurs leisure wear?
I see the purple and I just think Pochettino and I'm finding it hard to move on from that. Yeah, still.
That's tough.
Sorry.
I think the whole all or nothing thing is going to twist those feelings even more, isn't it?
Oh my God. It really does feel as though they just like appointed him because there was a documentary coming out. I'm sure you've seen the trailer, but it's so like, oh, is this real life or is this an episode of TOWIE? speaking of which, did you see Pirlo? He's had some new photos out of him training with Juventus as head coach for the first time.
I was outraged by them.
I don't know what he's doing there. I know we joked about shorts and stuff and he can pull them off and he looks, you know, I've got to say, he looks fabulous. He looks fabulous, Andrea. Yeah. But is the top?
He doesn't look fabulous.
Facially.
He's meant to be, yeah sure. that's a given. But it doesn't look fitted. And you expect a certain standard of leisure wear from a Serie A club, don't you, Kate?
Italian tailoring, you know what? Of the T-shirt.
It looks like they made up the appointment on the spot. I'm not saying they did, but it looks like they made up the appointment on the spot and they're like, yeah, we haven't got your size at the moment and, you know, we're going through a bit of a problem with suppliers, so you're going to have to wear the old manager's?
Yes.
It does look like he's wearing Sarri's stuff, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I haven't washed it, though, based on the old cigarettes chat.
Oh, can you imagine?
Goodness.
Musty.
Would you not want, you know, cocktail guys, they all have those kind of, they roll up the sleeves and then they've got those kind of like metal kind of binders around their arms.
Yeah.
I'd like, he needs to sort of pair of them, basically.
Yeah.
Kind of calm down those sleeves, yeah.
Two captain's armbands, perhaps.
Yes, exactly, yes. Yeah.
I've got one from Colt Hoffman on Twitter. Outfits based on league position. Smart suits for the top four, then shirts and jeans. Even further down, you must wear Hawaiian shirts. And if you don't want to wear a clown costume, stay clear of the relegation zone. I quite like that idea. Mm. Although I think, you know, like the pinnacle for a lot of people is dress down Friday. So I think maybe you should wear smart suits and shirts if you're hoping to climb the table.
Right.
And like you should
dress
have
the job you want.
Yeah. And you should be able to wear what you want if you're like top four or whatever. I mean, it's one of the things that's always got to me when we were talking about French football earlier. Like in French football, you get a lot of coaches who dress, you know, obviously Marcus feels quite strongly about Hervé Renard and his wonderfully pressed white shirts. Mm. But the thing that's always got to me is quite a lot of French head coaches dress like they're sort of going to a middle-aged focused sort of nightclub, sort of like two dressy jeans, like ostentatious
red
belt.
Shirt.
I'm not into that at all. I think he's very inappropriate for a work situation.
I'd like to put Bielsa in like a ghillie suit, you know, those ones that snipers have that they hide, like they can hide in, like, so it just looks like, oh, it's just a patch of grass that's moving around. Look at spying on the opposition.
He would have got away with it if he'd had one of those.
Exactly, yeah. If he'd dressed as a shrub,
damn,
he would have been fine.
I think on his bucket, he should like maybe dress like he's fishing, like including the rod.
I'd dress like Al Woolley. He used to have a bucket, didn't he?
Oh, did he?
Remember Al Woolley? It was a Beano style cartoon. Do you remember cartoons from kids from the 90s? Cartoons from the 80s. He was like a Scottish kind of. It was like the Bruins. It was like a Scottish.
The Bruins and Al Woolley, or is it Al Woolley and the Bruins?
Something like I think they were all concatenated together in the certainly the annual at the end of the year. My mum and dad would never let me read Al Woolley because they thought I wouldn't speak proper. And look at me now, mum and dad. I speak right proper, mate. Email from Connor Ashby. My suggestion would be that all newly recruited managers have to go incognito in the first game wearing a big masked singer style outfit. Throughout the game, the speculation builds as rumours circulate online of the masked manager's identity based on his tactical style and hints from the broadcaster. The manager is finally unmasked at the post-match press conference and everyone has to act shocked that the guy playing a 6'4" centre forward and a 6 centre halves was Tony Pulis all along. We could call it the masked Wenger rule. Don't get involved with my masked winger, Connor Ashby. We've only been ripped off
excellent,
from Soccer Aid recently on their promotional push.
Yeah, and Lucas Hernandez as well.
Mm, yeah.
There's a masked defender attempt.
It's almost as if it wasn't really thoughtful. It wasn't a thoughtful idea in the first place.
Do we know he got it off, Luca Hernandez?
His head.
Mm.
I mean, did they...
It's a big trophy.
I didn't see any footage of them getting off the plane at Munich Airport.
Oh, what? Do you reckon the fire engine had to be called and he had to be cut out of it?
Because he couldn't get through security, could he?
No.
Certainly.
How does he get through security? It's going to be beep, beep, beep. So I need you to take your hat off.
I can't.
No!
I'm just slowly running out of air. No one seems to care.
Well, I like if he comboed that with... I mean, everyone's seen the footage of Balotelli where he does the knee skid through the... through the metal detector that time.
Yeah.
If you did that knee skid while you had the European Cup stuck on your head, that would be pretty good, wouldn't it?
I'd watch a cartoon featuring a man with a cup on his head wearing Heelys. I'd watch that, a footballer with a cup on his head.
I don't think there's any doubt that Cristiano Ronaldo's team have already got that in the development stage.
Definitely. Or just some Spurs women suede at mule slippers that I'm looking on the club shop. I was looking to see if they had any fancy clothes for Mourinho to wear, but no, turns out there's some Spurs older boys just chilling PJs. It just says, just chilling out, and it's got a big Spurs flag on it.
It says that it's written.
It
on
says
the
just chilling out, yeah. And
just
the,
chilling out.
And the young woman's version is time to shine, and with a club crest. So there you go. Nice.
Okay.
So well, I would like him to wear those.
Legit. Well, if you've got any other ideas of what you would like football managers to be wearing, let us know. Email us your suggestions, show@footballrambledaily.com, or tweet us using the hashtag #RambleTopics. All one word, as all hashtags are.
Mm.
Thanks for the help, Kate. Right, a couple of little bits to get through before we let you get on your way. Although I guess you can get on your way, you know, while listening to a podcast. I tend to do ironing or go to the gym.
You're not tethered to your radio, are you?
Ooh.
You're wireless.
A little bit of a radio neg there, Pete.
Well, look, I'm clear. I've gone clear. I escaped the Scientology cult that is radio, that national broadcasting.
We mentioned Champions League single-legged ties might be becoming the new norm. We mentioned that, I know everyone was like all over them for the quarterfinals, and then they became a bit meh for the semi-finals. So it's almost as though the football game itself is the relevant thing rather than perhaps the format necessarily, because of course, different tactics, different setup. But anyway, Alexander Seferin has said he thinks that he thinks they're more exciting and we should just have single-legged ties for the Champions League. What are your views? My views perhaps are obvious in my voice.
Well, Seferin is a great interview because when he does interviews, and of course he did this with, I think, Rob Harris of AP on the morning of the final. He's a great interview because he sits down, says whatever is on his mind, and then it's kind of rode back from after he goes back to the office a couple of days afterwards.
The pirate move. He deleted it. He deleted the video, didn't he?
But I do think it's something worth having up your sleeve, because who knows what's going to happen with next season. You know, it's packed. We don't know how the world's going to roll, really, for the next year. And the schedule's got no room in it. So if a similar thing happened in the next, I don't know, whatever in the season. I don't think that's a massive surprise. I would like to think that is his way of breaking it. But the idea that the clubs are going to go for it, the big clubs aren't going to go for this.
No, and advertisers the advertising money will be there, so UEFA will go.
they can't. That's it. They can't do it with the current contract, can they?
No.
So not until 2024-25.
Right.
Which time everyone won't be sitting around thinking, you know what was great? You know when we had that global pandemic and we had to play all those games behind closed doors in one place?
I loved the football then.
None of Juventus, Real Madrid got there. Barcelona were absolutely humiliated. I miss those times.
Do you remember when Luca Hernandez used to have a normal shaped head? Those days.
Do you think he's going to look like one of Dan Aykroyd's cone heads when he comes out?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, no. Like an inverted contact lens.
That's actually where Benoit Assou-Ekotso joined Spurs from.
I was listening to yesterday's show. The Champions League obviously has a big pedigree in, like, you know, the Man United PSG a couple of seasons ago was one that comes to mind when it comes to big comebacks. Comebacks are kind of the Champions League's thing.
Yes.
And I'm not sure neutral venues will have to be organised and all that stuff. And again, the ad money will be there up for grabs, and most teams will be very much into having a little bit more gas in that tank. So, I just can't see it happening ever. Just more. they'll probably just cancel the Europa League over that, to be quite frank. They're going to choose one thing to do. I'm just saying that's what they'll do. They'd rather stick more matches in the Champions League and play them at the weekend, which is kind of their plan anyway.
The Conference League is on the way. You can't stop it, Pete.
Lovely.
You can't stop it.
I'm into it.
Good.
I'm into it.
And Newcastle might literally be in it.
Bring back the Anglo-Italian.
As well.
That's what I want.
There were a lot of brawls in the old Anglo-Italian.
Oh, yeah.
There?
Yeah, it was kind of like nobody took photographs or filmed it.
Oh, the days before camera phones. Life was happier for all of us.
Man, imagine being a student these days. Actually, that would be shit anyway. But, right, the other great thing we saw this week was Patrice Evra's interview in The Guardian with Donald McRae. I thought the most interesting thing he talked about was that situation where Liverpool wore shirts supporting Luis Suarez after Luis Suarez was banned for 8 games for racially abusing him, and the point he made, as he did when he spoke about it on Sky Sports back in October, and Jamie Carragher said it was a bloody weird thing to do, and obviously they made a massive massive error in doing that. But the point he made was that how bizarre it was that was what they chose to do after it's already been proven, like. You know, the outcome has been handed down. It's not like, we're not sure what the situation here is. There's been a verdict, and that probably should be respected.
But Liverpool players being tribal about something.
And of course, the point you made is that, you support your teammates, and there is merit in that. But what has been kind of lovely from Patrice Evra and really elegant through this whole Black Lives Matter movement recently, in many cases, has been black players, you remember when we spoke to Canners talking about how they've, you know, people apologised for the racism that they delivered on him in the past. Chelsea fans who used to racially abuse him have come and said, you know, we're sorry for that. And he said, you know, they're willing to accept that.
That was amazing to me. That absolutely stunned me.
That's the same sort of style with Patrice, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that whole Liverpool thing, it feels like it's from a different century,
yeah,
doesn't it?
2011.
That's extraordinary, isn't it?
But you sort of wonder who, you know, who set it up, who wanted to do it, who was just kind of dragged along. Oh, well, if I'm the peer pressure of being involved in something like that, it is difficult. But yeah, a massive, massive PR own goal. And it was a PR own goal back then. It was dreadful back then. And anyone who says it was a different time or people didn't think about these.
It's just a humanity own goal, really, isn't it?
Stupid. But I mean, look, I mean, look, the Black Lives Matter organised kind of kneeling is going to end this weekend in British domestic competition. And I think the more aware black footballers, older black footballers, certainly, like Patrice Evra, will rightly question whether we've seen this kind of like talk or this kind of gesture before. And I think this was only 2011. It wasn't a different world. And I do wonder whether this kind of movement, you may talk about footballers who've experienced, you know, the odd person on the street kind of just coming up and saying, oh, I'm really sorry about the racist abuse. But I do wonder whether footballing authorities have kind of, they're allowing themselves a bit of a pass now, because we're not going to be talking about it next season. This COVID thing is kind of overshot that a little bit, and I fear for the league's position on this matter. To be quite frank, they've got away with it, I think.
But that's why we need to hear more from someone like Patrice Evra, isn't it? Someone who's a real leader in so many ways, and such a huge figure in English football since. I mean, it's interesting because of his social media presence. I think, you know, you can't really have like different levels of image, can you? That's the thing. And Evra has been kind of, I think, quite unfairly painted as a clown, basically. When, you know, everyone's got more than one side to their character, but it's sometimes quite hard to get that across in media, and especially social media. And I think this is a really quite good attempt to recalibrate that image, because, you know, he talks about going into coaching. But if you sit down and have an interview with Donald McRae, that's going to help, isn't it? Because, and it's something that's really...
And if you mentioned that Sir Alex Ferguson thought you'd be a brilliant manager, that might help too.
Yeah, that also might help.
I didn't see that.
Why are you calling me at 3:30 in the morning, Patrice? Well, he gets a lot of calls.
But it's really, really interesting, because you get a bit more of the full picture, a bit more of the journey, don't you? Which I think is easy to forget about Patrice Evra. And, you know, that start at Manchester City, where he thought after 45 minutes, he says in the interview, he thought he made a dreadful mistake. His agent said, you made a dreadful mistake. I mean, if your agent said you made a dreadful mistake, covered here, not stick with it, it'll be fine.
He's stroking a gold bar.
Exactly.
Oh, I've made a dreadful mistake. You haven't.
Yeah, it's a lovely interview anyway. Check it out in The Guardian. Donald McRae, one of my absolute favourite best sports interviewers.
The best quote is he talks about dressing up as a panda bear to show kids that racism isn't the thing to do, get involved with. And the panda bear is black, white and chubby. I want kids to be like that panda. Be cool, be funny, but respect everyone. I think one of the most...
Boris Johnson is not on board with that. I want kids to be chubby.
Get a tiny twizzler in ya.
Oh my goodness, we're going to get taken off the air. We're going to get banned.
It's our air, we own it.
We're for pushing turkey Twizzlers. There is some live football, guys, still going on. As we know, the men's football has stopped, but the Women's Champions League semi-finals start tonight. The first one is Wolfsburg against Barcelona, and then tomorrow it's Paris Saint-Germain against Lyon.
The match everyone wanted at this stage of competition in the Champions League.
Yeah, I think you're meant to trail... I think you're legally obliged, actually, to trail Wolfsburg and Barcelona. Fight it out for the right to be given a hiding by Lyon in the final.
You are not wrong. Yeah, well, Wolfsburg, you know, they've come a long way since they would generally get battered by Barcelona, so it's cool.
Although the last time they lost to Lyon in the final, I found out yesterday that the last time they lost to Lyon in the final, which must have been the year before last, Sarah Bouadi, the Lyon goalkeeper, played the whole of extra time with a broken hand.
Jesus, that was that
Troutman-esque.
Game.
Yeah.
Oh, my days.
They've got goals in them, though. Pop and harder. But pop and harder. Pop and harder! Have you met them? Pop and harder.
I thought you were advising how to score.
Pop it harder!
Yeah. Yeah, so it should be great. Catch those two. And that's it from us for today, I think.
Check out the Community Shield as well at the weekend.
Oh, my days.
Both women's and men's are getting played at Wembley in the same day, I believe.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
This bloody weekend. That's mad, isn't it?
Women's match is going on, is live on BBC, so, yeah.
Oh, that'd be lovely to see. All right, then. I dial back my my astonishment at the start of the new season, which it sort of started before this one ended. Football, as we know, never ends.
Well, there's no football happening in America because obviously their COVID response has been wanting in many states. So, like, pretty much every women football player is just leaving because they just can't play football. Like, Rosa Vell just signed for Manchester City, incredible footballer and amazing in the World Cup. She's a good follow on Twitter as well.
All right.
Her dog is 8 today, well, yesterday. So,
oh, man.
Wilma Wrinkles, I think. Rose Lavelle's dog's called Wilma Wrinkles. It's very enjoyable.
I love it when dogs have two names.
Yes.
And one of them is not the surname of the human to which they belong.
Wilma Jean Wrinkles is her name. Is the dog's name.
Amazing. Right, well, tomorrow, come back. It's Marcus, Vish and Jim. None of you guys, I don't mean. Ooh. I mean the listeners. Come back tomorrow. I've been Kate Virginia Lucy Mason. You have been...
Andrew James Russell.
And...
I don't have a middle name.
Oh. You can make one up.
Right. Peter Jean Wrinkles Donaldson.
Beautiful. Catch you next time, guys.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.